Hey, Energizer, welcome to this episode of the Jones and Four Show. And we have a special guest here today talking to you about, well, many things, positivity, mindset, but specifically something we have not touched on yet ever in all 120 something 30-ish episodes of the show. We haven't talked about fatherhood and what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a man in general. And I'm super excited to have this guest on. I recently got to meet him at Unleash You Men's Retreat, spent a weekend with him learning and growing, and I can so happily and proudly call him my brother. And the coolest part is he's in Wisconsin, so we got to get him up here playing on the ninja course with us at some point and have some fun. But without any further ado, let's bring in the master of fatherhood and manhood, Ben Killoy. Ben, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Spencer, for bringing me on here. And I agree that Men's Retreat was a great space just to connect and get visibility, get sight to things you don't need to see, and just see growth. Like, that's something we often, especially when you're doing this for a living, you often don't always see where the next step is in your growth, because you're almost still, especially in our cases, where we're trying to turn around and like help people reach where we are. Like, being able to have visibility on that next milestone is difficult. And I think both of us took away that feeling, and just seeing different people like Bobby Jones, like hearing his story, like to me, those, they give you those stepping stones and those types of stories. So I appreciate meeting you there. And I'm really excited for wherever our friendship's going, because I'm definitely sure it's not over.
Oh, I'm sure it's not over yet. And yeah, it's amazing what going to any event, right? A men's retreat, a women's retreat, a challenge days, or whatever it is that fits you. But getting there, especially in person, virtual events are great. We have virtual events that we hold here at Jones and Four, and they're fantastic. There's something more to in-person events, right? You get to see the people, you get to connect with them, have that energy. The energy just is off the charts at a really well done in-person retreat like Unleash You does, like we do, at least not how I feel. And I know some other places put on amazing events as well. So it's been an honor to get to know you, meet you. I know you a little bit from that weekend, and I'd like to say fairly well, but my audience doesn't. So how about sharing a little bit about you, your history, what you do, and how you serve people, and share that with our audience.
So I grew up on a farm here in southern Wisconsin, and that taught me a lot about life, taught me a lot about work, but it didn't really give me a lot of width to life. Like, there's only one version of life that you see on a farm. And if you don't get off the farm, which wasn't something I did a lot, that you don't really see what life is out there. So in high school, I was really struggling what would come next. And I didn't really fit in. I didn't really have a strong identity. I didn't really have a lot of confidence. I'm like, what's next? And it just felt a little bit lost. And then I do the opposite of what any of those things would normally do. I joined the Marine Corps. And so the Marine Corps was kind of like this dare to be great moment. Like, you know what? This sounds like the opposite of anything like a guy like me normally would do. So I do it. Join the Marine Corps, go to boot camp in San Diego. And essentially what that kind of woke me up to was a lot of ideas that I didn't even fully tap into when I was in the Marine Corps, but it laid the seed work for being able to water and come back later. The problem is when I got out in 2007, and I didn't come out with like any of the baggage from like going to Afghanistan or Iraq. I was in Okinawa for 3 years. I did lots of deployments over there. Taught me a lot about the world and how big it is and perspective. But when I got out in 2007, one thing that I didn't know, I almost repeated and paused for 4 years, the mistake I did at 18, I just adapted what was in front of me. So when you're coming out of the military, they give you this standard code. You get a job interview, you get a suit, you go out there, you apply your GI Bill. It's the number one benefit in the military, and you get a degree. And these are the pathways to success and fulfillment. And I did those. I started a family. We had a house. I had a two-year-old daughter. And 10 years later, it all kind of came to a head. I was going for electrical engineering. I had failed two classes. And in 2014, I was like, you know what? I need to pause. I need to take a break. The problem was when I took a break, I quit. And I didn't really have any people in my life to be a sounding board, a mentor, or to really help me see what I couldn't see or to move the next steps. But then once that happened, I was like, wait, the grass is just dried up. Like, that literally was the grass on the other side of the fence, supposed to make everything better. Mm-hmm. Now what? Like, what comes next? Because everything I was doing was focusing on just get that piece of paper. Well, I just turned that off. And I didn't know what would come next. All I had known was I just wanted to be an electrical engineer. I mean, I had a good paying job. I had these things that everybody would said, like, man, that's a person of success. But I still felt empty. And so from 2014 to now, it's been kind of this rebooting and discovering and walking through my life in a particular way to walk through my pain of my past, my being in high school, being bullied, not knowing who I was, not having a strong identity, redefining my identity, and refiguring it out in a way that allowed me to find purpose in it. And so that's essentially what I do now, and finding purpose within my own fatherhood journey and helping dads identify their pain, their generational trauma is what I call it now, and helping them reframe that so they can come home and be a good dad. Because a lot of dads don't get permission to be a dad because they think that their purpose is to be at work. And just kind of rewiring that is a lot of what I do today. But man, there's a lot of growth in that 8 years since getting 2014. There's a lot of areas we could go there. But in that moment of just kind of refiguring it out, a lot of what I had to do was take the pain that I was feeling, find the purpose in it, and then find a way to live that purpose every day that juices me up. And now with two podcasts, professional speaking, friends all over the world that I love and connect with, and just continuing to grow the message and help dads design their legacy. That's at the end of the day, that's what I'm gifting every dad that works with me, is an intentional legacy by design that when their time is over on here, they know what they leave behind is 10 times stronger than anything they did on this earth.
Dude, that's such an incredible story, of fight, of grit, and of growth that happened. And now with you reaching back and saying, all right, I've been through these flames, I've been through hell, and let me reach back and help you through this now so that you know you don't have to struggle as much as I did. I can help guide you and tell you what stones to step on and what pathway to take and grow. And I think that's fabulous. And we're both in the same journey. Different points, right? Different focuses, but doing that same thing.
Both had to redefine the identity to go from music right. teacher to where you are now. Like, you have to throw out the rule book of 100%. Life. I mean, that's what I had to do. I mean, like, the idea, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I work in my business. I don't have an 8-to-5. I maybe have more anxiety because I have to generate my own revenue, but I don't operate on the standard rules of life. Now, there's two ways to look at that. And this is a lot of what you probably see when you help people walk through their stories is there's the reality of what you know is against the rules. But like you and I know, there are thousands, if not millions of people that this is the norm. Right. And if you don't experience that, if you don't understand it, or if you don't even learn about it, you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. And knowing is the most powerful thing, but most people are too afraid to even take a step to find out. I'm like, what would happen if I did know the answer to that question? So, once you know, whether it's good or bad, but knowing is so important. And anybody that's, for us, stuck in our old positions, we could have lived our entire life not knowing if this could have worked.
So many people are the best thing ever. Right? And so many people are afraid of taking that step of the unknown, of being unsure. And that makes me think back here when you were sharing your story, you said, you know, mentioned about fathers thinking that they need to be a father, but in the sense of always working, right? That they're taught to provide. And that goes into this whole storyline that we are taught, that we are built into. And you could tie it back into your life. I could tie it back to my life, for example, of you being a farmer. Okay, well, all I know is to be a farmer, a farmer's kid. And what does that look like for me? Oh, no, it's military. What is this military life? Oh, GI Bill. Okay, we're going through college. This is life. This is the train track I'm on. This is it. I have blinders on. I don't see anything else. And I've noticed so many people have these blinders on. And one of my goals and mission is just to help them raise their awareness to remove the blinders. Doesn't mean they have to jump track or change it, but just at least see what other options are out there. So my question to you is, you know, you've been on these tracks and then you've had that moment where you said, stop. All right, let's see. All of a sudden the grass dried up. How can you stop in the midst of that to realize, okay, I'm on this train track. I'm following this one pathway. How do I stop and then evaluate if I change or not?
There's a simple step and it's a free step, but it's ultimately what we truly suck at. It's dreaming. For most people in our society, because of the patterns, the commercialism, just the overall attachment and the pursuit of money, we don't dream. We only dream what HGTV tells us we can dream of. And then we just adopt their dream, even though we don't really ever ask, like, is that what I want? It looks nice. Or what Hollywood does. We don't like truly know ourselves on a deep enough level to dream from our view of the world versus what everybody else sees. And to me, there's a title I always assign a dad that's working with me is I want you to become a professional dreamer. Because most dads have never slowed down and actually paused and just dreamed. Like, you don't even have to actually say yes to anything. All you have to do is imagine. Use your curiosity. Use your intuition of like, you know what? If I had $1 million, which is often what it takes. Most men are so stuck. I have to give them $1 million and be like, okay, I give you $1 million. Day one, what do you do with your life? And instantly, sometimes they'll come up with it. One, my famous example is, he's like, I would go to Tampa. I would open a surf shop because riding the waves gives people freedom. And I want to gift that feeling to other people like I had it in my life. And I was like, boom, where'd that come from? But right. It took $1 million to come up with that. And there's so much like the rule following of how we govern our life that, or another way you can frame this again is if you're struggling with the dreaming concept, is imagine today was your last day at work. You got fired. Very devastating, negative day. It happens to thousands of people every single day, even in non-COVID time. Even in my life in 2020, I went into work one day, January 26th. It was a normal day. By 9 a.m., they said you didn't need me anymore. And 2 weeks later, it was my last day on Valentine's. And I had to rewire my entire life. But the question that comes in those moments, and this is looking for abundance versus scarcity, is when you have a job, you maybe have 3 or 4 choices of what you could pivot to. Like if you're in one career and you're trying to like make a career change, you're like, there's only like a 3-degree window of direction that I can go. When you're fired, everything is possible. You don't have anywhere to be. You have no time commitments, nothing. I mean, every variable is changeable when you get fired. You could literally blow up any variable that you think is constant, your house, your geography, everything.
Right.
Design the ask the question, what does this make possible? It's like the optimist question, because it asks the question of, before, very few things were possible for change. Now, infinite possibilities are changing. And so you don't actually have to go into this mode and actually know which ones are the right ones. It's important to try and test a few of these. But what most people really, just as the step one, they don't even know what they're missing out on. And I think this is a part of just dreaming. This is why I like podcasts, because you're essentially like dream hacking, like taking how other people have seen the world, how they've designed it. Like, you know what? I want that breadcrumb and I'm going to put it in mine. And we just don't have, another way to say it is, we don't have enough perspective. We aren't inviting perspective into our life. And so ever before you even get to the point of knowing or trying which one is the right one, I think it's important to know, what does the world look like right now and how wide do you really want to design it? To me, that's a better place to start. And I feel like the people that come into your life when you start dreaming about that are then going to be the ones that help you decide, like, is that their direction or is that direction, and so forth.
That's huge. And what an amazing tip. That's something, you are right. We suck at so many times of dreaming for ourselves and really just going to town on that and being comfortable with it, because we get so afraid. As you said, it takes $1 million sometimes as an arbitrary number to be like, okay, here's $1 million. What do you dream of? And yet so many of us just take these things that are expected to dream of. Oh, a fancy house. Oh, I want this car. Oh, you know, follow the HDTV, the movie set, whatever thing that seems like it'd make us happy. And maybe they would, but how many times have we seen in society people that, even people that we know and people we don't know that we hear about, that all of a sudden they have the money, they go get those things, and they're just as miserable, right? Those millionaires who are miserable because they bought the things that should make them happy, quote unquote, but don't, because they don't know themselves through and through. They didn't ask themselves, what do I dream of? Maybe it is to not have $1 million. Maybe it's just to have a job that pays, you know, 30 grand a year, and you have the house that's a nice house, but nothing crazy. And you're able to spend that time with your family and kids, and you're able to do those things or whatever, right? Open a surf shop, whatever that is. We need to break free of those restrictions, those change of what does society expect of us. So how can we break free of those chains to dream unrelentlessly? Is it just thinking, okay, we have $1 million in our pocket, and then once we dream that, how do we take action on those, and should we take action?
There is an analogy that works, and I tested it just now in my head, and I think I can pull it off here. Google Maps. Google Maps is a powerful tool for a couple different reasons. One, because there's satellite images of everywhere on Earth. Two, there's local photography in almost everywhere on Earth, at least it's worth visiting. And you can get an idea of what it looks like anywhere. You could say, I want to see what the monuments in Malaysia look like. Boom, type it in, get pictures. And you can get vision and clarity. I'm like, man, it would be amazing to be there. But there's a flaw in Google. And it needs 2 points to get you somewhere. It needs to know the destination, which is easy to find if you have this posh process of dreaming. But the part that I actually had wrong, and this is even in my coaching, I spend 2 weeks making sure we get it right, is we understand where you are on the map and how you got there. If you don't understand that component, no matter what you dream, no matter what you type into Google, it's always going to be like the Truman Show roundabout where he goes in and he always, no matter what exit, he always ends up right back in the same roundabout. Because it's the stories you tell yourself, the patterns of your existence, and the choices psychologically and subconsciously that you've made every day that have got you where you are. And if you don't put intention on understanding, like, what got me to this reality, this current physical space and time, what stories, what beliefs, what trauma got me here, what things were I running from? For example, like if there was a bear in one cave and I ran to another cave to avoid that bear, and that bear was my father growing up, you need to know in your head, like, I'm here because I spent my entire life running from this story of my father, which was this bear in my mind of evil. And understanding why you keep running to places that seem safe, you're never going to get to that place that you want to go on Google, because it's always going to crash and you're always going to get in that roundabout. You're going to get a few flat tires along the way. And you're going to be like, why can't I just get to where I want to go? It's because you don't truly understand the things that are causing you to repeat. And so to me, it's important to understand where you are and how you got there. And a lot of that comes from just your stories that you tell yourself that you got here. Something else that I often always look for is life is always teaching us something. And one of my favorite questions, I don't have a PhD, but I always like to rob this from PhDs, that a thesis is something you have to write to get a PhD. And a thesis has to make the world a better place. And I always frame it like, if you were to write a thesis on the hard lesson that life's always been trying to teach you to make your life a better place, what have you failed at over and over and over and over again? Like, if there was this tripwire that was always put in your place, like, let's test them today. Let's see if you can do it. And then boom, it happened. It's like, damn it, did it again. What is that one thing that life's been trying to teach you that you really struggled to learn? To me, that moment, wherever that thread goes, that's going to teach you where some of your stories come from, some of your patterns, and what you need to acknowledge and to get that geolocation of where you are so that Google can do its job and get you to that place that you type in that you want to go.
That's huge. You need to know where you are, right? And where you are and even how you got there, at least to some degree, because if you don't, you're going to make those same mistakes over and over.
I'm sure there's a component tying to your obstacle course in your backyard.
Oh yeah, easily. Or you could easily tie that into the obstacle course, the ninja course back there. We can have some fun with that. And tie that into life, because heck, I failed at that thing how many times at the same point and different points until I learned a trick, a strategy, something that helped me move on. But I first needed to stop and evaluate, why was I failing? Why was I struggling at that point? And I could see it in my business. I could see it in my personal life, especially where I go, oh my gosh, why am I having all these anger issues? I'm always frustrated. You know, before I got to be the Prince of Positivity, I was always angry. I was frustrated. I was, moments, seconds, zero to angry in a second flat, right? Like, it was crazy how fast it would happen and how quickly, until I started dealing with those inner demons, those inner beliefs, those thoughts that I had about myself, and then digging back, where did those come from, so I could start untangling and clear all that out so we can move forward. And what I'm loving about our conversation is that the tips is things we're talking about of finding that destination, knowing where you are, and getting out of these the pathways you're on, is that this goes for anyone, not just men, but women, right? You're told the script of what you should be quote unquote doing.
In their case, they're told who they're not.
Kids, right? It's just a perceived being told, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're told or not, it's perceived. For children, men, women, teachers, any job, anywhere, every single person. Now, there's good and bad with that, and you need to evaluate, see if it works for you. So a question I have for you is, let's say we're working on it on ourselves, but we see a loved one, our spouse, a parent, a kid, struggling in their pathway right now, right? And we see them, they're on this pathway and they're struggling. How can we help them break free and dream so that then they can at least have the awareness to pick and choose if they so want it?
I think this is an interesting one. And I think you intentionally picked a friend because that's often where most people feel the most called to kind of help someone. But it's actually the hardest part about walking these journeys is sometimes there's not a single thing you can do to let that man except hit that man, let the man hit the brick wall. Because you could tell him exactly where to find $1 million. And he is so caught up in his story that until catastrophic damage happens in his life, he's not going to be able to see it or hear it. Because the story is so powerful that, and ultimately, I've learned this with veterans, that in the same part of your brain that experiences joy and happiness is the same part of a veteran's brain that convinces himself that he's better, that his life is better without him. His family would be better without them. And he's a burden and he takes his own life. It's the same part of the brain that logically comes to those conclusions. And so if your brain can equally line itself to kill itself, when equally it should be aligned towards preservation and keeping alive, and it can also equally find joy, that is capable of creating powerful narratives to keep you stuck. So depending on where this person is at, there's a couple of kind of like surface level things that I always look at. Is the most, especially from a child, this one is a little bit easier for a child because they don't necessarily have a lot of things stacked on top that you're trying to unpack or the patterns haven't solidified, is seen, heard, and understood. Like those are the three most powerful things that most people subconsciously are looking for in their life every day. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be like, someone actually paused for 5 minutes to actually hear what I had to say. You see this with like tips at a restaurant where someone gives a big tip and that waitress is visible, that like someone noticed that I mattered today. The understood is like, I'm not just this cog in this commercial capitalized world, that I have a story, I have passions, I have wants, I have desires, I have pain. And to me, those three are always kind of what I'm looking for. And sometimes, like for an example, I'll use a veteran, and I think it probably would carry over for a regular person, that Forrest Gump sitting on a bench and having random people listening to a story is the most powerful exercise that you can probably gift any human being, a stranger or a friend. Because if they're willing to share their story, all you need to do is listen. And I learned this in Toastmasters from someone giving another speech, that rainbows only come after a storm. And often the reason why you can't find the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow is because someone else is the pot of gold. And so if someone's going through a storm, you could be the rainbow. And that can be just sitting down at a bench and hearing someone's story. Because that visibility is so powerful and lifting it from their chest, they can take a breath for the first time without a brick laying on it. Now, that's if they're willing to share. If they're not willing to share, you almost need to come from this place of acceptance, but then also waiting for the right moment. Because there's often times where if you go in to try to help someone and they're not ready, or they're not, you haven't asked permission to coach or even help or offer advice, it's actually going to have the worst side effect. And most likely they're going to try to turn it around on you and try to find something wrong with you and to avoid something being wrong with them. Now, in those cases, all you can really have is patience and remembering a few things that hurt people. And depending on who is this in your life, coming up with a couple different phrases of thinking, like, no matter, especially if they hurt you, if they inflicted pain on you with words or actions, think about this. If the back of your brain is very logical, it can come to the conclusion to kill yourself, then what they just did was probably a logical choice. Even though it hurt, even though from an outside perspective, it's bad. In that person's mind, it was a rational conclusion that this is the next step. And so almost think of it proportionally from the pain that they gave you is proportional, if not greater, by like three times maybe, to the pain they're truly feeling on the inside. And if you have that mindset, you can then bring empathy and then bring an awareness to that empathy that, like, you know what, this person doesn't need me to be right. They just need to be loved. And you can't love someone and be right at the same time. So remembering that conclusion within those contexts helps you navigate someone that might be stuck and might be well before their time of like waking up and recognizing these stories. And sometimes they just need to be heard. Sometimes they just need you to be loved. And sometimes saying nothing is actually the best way to be a friend.
I absolutely love that advice and 100% agree with it. There's sometimes some people need to hit that brick wall. I was one of those people. I had hints throughout things going on in my life and didn't listen, didn't register that that was happening or whatever until I hit that brick wall and walls came crashing down at that point, right?
It does make the life thesis more impactful when you do figure it out, but it doesn't necessarily take the scars away and it doesn't necessarily make the growth work to get through it any easier. But no, often when you convert that pain to purpose, it can be more powerful, but the work in those moments can be a lot harder.
It's so much. 100% right. It can be so much harder and it sucks crashing down. I don't want anyone to get to that rock bottom that I had, but I think that a lot of people need to hit rock bottom to help them. And I love the advice of just most people want to be, I think everyone as well wants to be listened, heard, understood, right? That just listen to them, hear their story, hear their side of it without needing to respond. And that's so hard for us to do. We always want to respond. Just listening and then work to understand. And as you said, sometimes it's better not to say anything. Just let them go and just listen and then offer love, like you said. And I love that you say that because I say that all the time, right? Just share love to other people. And that's maybe listening. That doesn't mean you're sharing your side of the story or your point of view. It's just sometimes it's just shutting the hell up and listening. And that's a beautiful
thing. I might get this wrong, but I have this like framework that digs down to like what they truly need. Like you can't love someone and be right at the same time. You can't love someone unless you know them. You can't know them unless you listen, and you can't listen unless you shut up.
So true. I love that. That makes perfect sense to me.
And because there's also a component, this is why I led with the Forrest Gump self-talk and just hearing, there's a component that happens, especially within veterans where they talk about like, you know what, yesterday I thought about killing myself. The front part, the prefrontal cortex, the part that separates us from every other mammal in the world, is the part that says, that's crazy. Mm. And the more times you put words to that, then we're like, that's crazy. So just verbally saying something can be self-therapy. You don't have to be the one that says, why does that make you feel? Because inside they're already thinking like, that's a crazy thought. And so that process repeated over time can be self-therapy that gets them to the point of taking those steps on their own.
I love that. Paying attention to that story that we share. And just a couple episodes ago, we had another guest on talking about that story we tell ourselves. And it's so huge, the story we tell ourselves. We can tell ourselves a story of disempowerment, of one saying we're worthless, we're weak, right? That inner bully, as Sean Douglas likes to say, just always ripping on us. Or the one of strength, of power, of bravery and light, all those things of love. That all those positives, it all depends on the story we tell ourselves. Oh, I'm stuck in this job. I'm stuck in this career path. I'm stuck with this mindset. I've always been cranky and upset, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? That's that track you're on. Let's open up your awareness and go, oh, there's endless possibilities. Where do I want to go to from here? And then let's pick that destination and then do the work. Because that's one of the biggest things you did is you stopped, you realized it. Holy crap, this is where I'm at. Oh my God, I need to, where am I going to go to from here, right? At different times in your life. And sometimes it was just, you were running from something and that's how you chose. Other times you're like, okay, here's where I'm intentionally going to go. That makes sense. It aligns with my dreams. But then you took action. So how about for those of us who are struggling to take action on those dreams, on that vision of change and purpose that we have for ourselves, like ourselves, like, okay, we're stuck in here. I want to get out. I'm aware of this, but I'm afraid to take action. I don't know what to do. What are the first steps or how can we take action?
The part that I've learned in my own story, again, it's all baked in my own story is, and it comes back to 2019. I learned an important lesson. There was a moment that I had this clarity. It was December of 2019. My world was fairly normal still. The world was still pretty normal at that point. And there was a moment that I was like, you know what? I keep trying to fall in love with the world and find a way to get love from the world. And then I had this epiphany, and it's not epiphany because it's super basic, but it's super impactful. You can't unconditionally love the world until you unconditionally love yourself. And there's three things within that category: good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's the pursuit of all three. And they're all three really hard. Well, the good's easy, but the bad and the ugly, finding purpose in the pain, finding the purpose in the ugliness. You fall in love with those three, give you more acceptance. And what also allows you to take action is when you realize you don't need something from the outside world. When you realize and love everything, when you become like a self-perpetual engine that can generate your own love based on who you are every day, and that you don't need something from the outside world to like turn a light switch on for you to have joy, and you can experience it on the inside. That's the true point where like action is like secondary nature. Because when you don't worry about what other people say from your action, it's irrelevant what the result is. It's, yeah, I'm doing this. It doesn't matter. I know who I am. I know where I've been. I know where I'm going. And the best part is kind of like thinking of it like going back to Forrest Gump, the Lieutenant Dan, when he's at the top of the ship and he's yelling at God, like, God, is this all you got? Like those moments when you're like, or if you just got like, I was at the grocery store the other day and Woodman's here in Wisconsin, there was a flock of seagulls flying over and this guy in front of me is like, oh man, watch out to his wife. They could perp on you. I was like, dude, it's like the worst luck he could say. They did not crap on me, but they did crap on my groceries. And the irony here is I've read a book to my daughter for 5 years that said someday a bird will poop on you. And when that bird poops on you, you have a choice. You can either laugh about it as like, this is the funniest day ever, or you can get angry about it. Getting to the point where it doesn't matter, it's the funniest thing. Like no matter what happens to you that day, getting to that place allows the action to get easier. Now that's the kind of the back end, but it's still pretty tricky. But there is one word that kind of a season that got me going. So in that same time frame, there was also stuff going around that said you should pick a word of the year instead of a new life goal or a new resolution. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've never picked a word of the year. And at the same time frame, it was also like, you know what, Ben, you keep searching for one more book, one more podcast, one more fill in the blank. And what if you've already had everything? Like, what if everything you've ever needed to crush it was already inside you? You were missing one word, belief.
Hey, sorry to butt in like this, but I have something really cool I want to share with you. Something that I know. I know it can help you live your life to the max. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a roadmap. A roadmap that gets you to your destination. What do roadmaps do, right? Well, you have your destination. It shows you how to get there. The best way to get to that point. And you know what? That's what I have. What is this roadmap I'm talking about? I'm talking about my book, Chase Your Passion. That's right, you have a passion, you have a destination, you have goals, dreams you want to achieve, but maybe you're confused on how to get there, maybe you're feeling stuck. Well, my book, Chase Your Passions, is that roadmap. It guides you through how to create that plan, how to create that roadmap, how to get over hurdles so you can have success. So if you're ready to ditch the excuses, if you're ready to get unstuck and ready to have success, to taste success and feel amazing, to achieve your goals and dreams, get your copy of Chase Your Passions. It's available on Amazon or just head to my website, SpencerMJones.com. All right, let's catch y'all later and let's keep chasing our passions. Let's go.
So if you are any type of person that's stuck in a pattern from any type of trauma or any type of things you're running from that were really hard, ugly, and bad, most likely there's a belief disconnect that you don't believe you're valuable because of these stories in the past. So if you can take that first step to believe that you've had everything inside you to take that first step, that component kept testing in 2020. So I picked that word of the year when the world was normal. It was just felt really good and quirky, and I could say it on social media. January 26, I lose my job. Believe I've already have had everything I have to do what I want. I say, you know what? This is my chance to be a professional speaker. Corona hits, wipes that out. Rewire my life as a stay-at-home dad. Never done that in my life. And prior to 2019, I'd never spent more than 10 days or a day with my kids overnight. And I'm going to be a stay-at-home dad. Believe I can do this. And over 2020, over and over, believe that no matter what happens, you have already have everything inside you to do everything you need to do. You need to believe it. And then in 2022 or 21, my word was action. Like once this belief was solidified and once I believed it in my soul and essentially kind of was able to stand up and accept responsibility for my own happiness, then it became, what do I want to do? What's that first step? So I launched my coaching program. Took a while, ground out, end of March, about this time last year, I had my first coaching client. Kept repeating that, and believing it, and continuing to step into it, and continuing to have that action, and then even to continue this thread. So in the fall of this past year, financially, it wasn't working out. I was like, you know what? The mortgage is going to have a hard time getting paid this month. It's been fine since, but you know what? This month is really hard. And I was like, God, I'm out. You've put this thing in my heart. I've been trying to figure it out, but this thing can't get paid. And it's part of life here on earth. And I'm out. I'm going to have to go back and be normal. 48 hours later, after I write my very first prayer and share it to a few close friends, I get a client in 48 hours. That could have only been him because I didn't do a single thing to get that client. It was complete random out of the blue. That repeated a few more times in the fall to where this year word of the year is faith. that faith that it will always work out, and that what if this step is the best step ever and that everything is better than I've ever imagined. But man, when I let go of faith, and that doesn't even have to be like a faith connected to God, but just faith that good will come from this step. Because if you have a belief problem, you generally believe that each step brings bad. And changing that belief that each step is good and that this is the first step to changing your life. I mean, what if it fails? Like, what if this changes your life forever? Not what could go wrong. It's you only need one thing to go right. And having faith that you only need that one thing. To me, that's like the how I got to that action. But then more where I am now, like how I take action, like I'm asking, like, how do I go bigger? How do I have more faith in the bigger steps that I take? And who can I do it with? Who can I bring people along in this journey? And even coming to the men retreat was part of that. Like, you know what? This sounds fucking crazy on the paper. I'm going to go. And here we are today.
That's, again, going back to all the idea of changing the story, watching the story you're telling yourself and having those words of the year to help focus that story and just have that pinpoint at the top of the board, right? That's always just slightly guiding, whether it's faith, whether it's belief, whatever that is, action, right? That you have those points and watching your story that you're sharing. And I love the examples you shared of the people taking action and trusting themselves, going, you know, this is what I have. And really tying it back into one of the biggest and best things that I always like saying, let your light shine the brightest, is be you, authentically you, right? Stop trying to be someone else and just fully own you.
Believe that you are good.
Right, that you are good. And yes, you've had rough moments. Yes, you've made mistakes. Yes, there's the good, bad, the ugly, and you've owned them. You've owned them and you've learned from them. You've worked through that and then used the bad and the ugly to help you be better so that any bad and ugly later on won't be the same, right? It's going to be different. And you're always learning and growing and improving and hopefully getting even more good in your life that you could share out and just being okay with it. Because once you have that, once you know you and you are fully you, no one else can hurt you. No one, right? I mean, once you make friends with yourself and you are authentically you and just happy as a clam being you, people could throw sticks and stones, but their words are never going to hurt you, right? They can't break you because you love you, right? You don't need to prove yourself, do anything like that. It's so incredible. And I love that message. So thank you for sharing that and reminding me of that. That's huge.
And there's an important part to remember what you use in your garden every year. Fertilizer. The best fertilizer is manure. So that's why this pain to purpose is so powerful, because you should get excited when something sad happens. Not like in the context of like losing someone, like that's sad, but you should understand like every hard moment you walk through is going to be something in the rearview mirror. You're like, man, that taught me something that I could never live without. Or what usually happens is someone comes into your life that's in crisis and you know where the light switch is or the door because you walk through it. That's when the more times you can help someone out of their darkness using your problem. I mean, there's an analogy that I use with Superman that when Superman's injured, he brings himself into the light. When you bring your stuff into the light, it heals. It's strength. It's powerful. And helping someone else come into the light so they can heal their darkness is a powerful exercise that just allows the good and the bad, the ugly to no longer be something that holds you back like dead weight or ball and chains, but it becomes jet fuel. There's a story that I wrote a letter. It was like the very first kind of like moment where I realized pain to purpose. I wrote a letter to myself titled, Why Am I Worth It? And it was a letter to myself. I'm writing a letter to myself using my hands. And it's a close friend telling me that I'm worth it. They're reminding me it. And I'm writing this letter all along. And again, it's me writing it. And all of a sudden, I start saying like, Ben, you think all of these things in high school, the bullying, not being popular, all these stories, like that's truly why you can't be special. And then I tell myself, early in life, people push you down to prepare you so you could pull people up. And I was like, boom. I was like, still to this day, like the most profound thing I've ever said to myself, because it created purpose. Like it all allowed me, like I can see it in a man's eyes well before he even can feel it. I can because of what I went through.
Right. Yeah. You could see the pain, the struggle that they've gone through.
If I was ordinary, I would be ordinary. I wouldn't be able to have that visibility into their feelings that they haven't yet. And the early breadcrumb in my journey, when I started just having more friendships and more conversations, people would be like, Ben, the way you put words together, I felt something I didn't even know I needed to feel. And so then those little breadcrumbs allowed me to get where, I mean, even you talk about action. I am here today because I had the courage to say hello to dads at the park. Like, that was a very small step, but that hello was a really hard word for me to say because a high school girl said no. And so I just assumed everybody was worth rejecting and avoiding. And once I started saying hello, everything started opening up. I realized, like, you know what? This hello is a really powerful word. I could use it to do a lot of good things. And each one gave me a reflection of someone that I didn't know I could become. That's the most important part of friendships. And why I love the mentor treat is everyone is a reflective surface for things that you have no idea you could step into and change the world with until someone stands in front of you as a mirror and be like, dude, you got to run towards that.
I totally 1000% agree with everything. I'm just dumbfounded. I don't have really writing words to say it anymore. Cause I'm totally on point and agree. The relationships I have built with you, with the guys at the men's retreat, and just within our community, the Energizer community, have helped me be better and have helped shine a light or a mirror, whatever you want to call it, to see, oh, I can grow here, or I can call out this, and have made me better in so many ways. And I'm just so thankful and grateful to everyone in my life who has done that. And I try being aware of those other people who come into my life, whether I can help them and turn on the light switch for them and help them, or someone else who can help me. And maybe it's mutually beneficial. It's the same person, right? We can help each other. We've had that too. And it's such an incredible feeling. And as you said, it's a superpower, right? That you have. But the cool part is, and I'm not trying to take anything away, is we all can have that superpower.
Yes.
If we allow it, right? It's not meant for the elite. It's not just meant for Ben or me or whoever. It's meant for you and everybody else. But you have to choose to want that superpower. You have to choose to turn that on and then use the struggles you've had as strengths to reframe it, see the lessons, use those strengths, and then help others. And whether you're helping others directly by sharing your stories or giving them advice or becoming a coach, or just shining your light and being that light that got through that pain, that is inspiring others and helping others as well.
There's a story I always like to reflect on when I think of potential with words. And words are just simple things we put together, but they can move mountains. And if you've ever been to DC, there's, and especially at the Martin Luther King Memorial, it's literally a mountain removed from the wall of all these quotes that he said. And I often think of him and Abraham Lincoln. They both shit sitting down. They both were just like us, but they learned to move mountains with their world, with their words, and they changed the world with them. And to me, there's the potential for each of us to have that type of mountain moving effort, that when you understand how to move mountains in your own story, you can literally do it with the touch of your finger in some cases for others. And to them, it's a magic trick. To you, it's just, I've just gotten really good at saying the right words to move that particular mountain. And it's just an exercise of muscle and strength. And the more times you do it, just like Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, they were just brilliant wordsmithers that allowed people to move mountains into their perspective that allowed them to see the world in an entirely different way than they did before. They were just like us. They just intentionally learned to do it and then actually did something that changed the world.
Right? They took action on it. They decided they could, and then took their skills, their abilities, talents, and capitalized on it and helped make the world a better
place. I mean, think of 100 years of civil rights issues, and then you have a man in the 60s who's going to be like, you know what? We're going to do this peacefully, and we're going to do it with words. Think of how many people would have thought he was crazy.
Right?
And then he ended up being the guy that did it.
That's amazing.
So it just takes intention. It takes belief. It takes action. And it takes that reflective surface.
It's huge. Huge. Surrounding yourself with the right people, putting yourself intentionally in those places to be around those people. And then whether it's events like the men's retreat, our events or wherever, but then being open and willing to learn, to grow, to see that reflection. So many times we just want to throw a curtain over it or a blanket over it and not see it. And just being open to that's huge. So Ben, thank you for being a mirror to me, to helping me be my best, and to all the men and women that you help become better. So thank you for being you.
I appreciate that.
How can people connect with you? I know you work with dads specifically to help them be better. And I mean, we all know people in our lives, men in our lives, fathers who, we all know fathers, and maybe they could use some help. And how can they connect with you and all that good stuff?
couple of different questions. One that I learned from Bobby Jones down at the men's retreat is asking people, where do you currently refer people to when men are in crisis? It's a complete vacuum when you ask that question. You'll most likely get a blank stare like, we don't put people any particular place when they're in mining crisis. We don't have any resource to give them, man. We just essentially stay on the outside and don't get burned when his house burns down. Right. But the cost of divorce, the cost of these problems in the business is extremely high. So think of me when you have a man in crisis in your organization, or whether you know where someone could be a plug-in. But then also just bencloy.com is the best place to get a hold of me. If this message resonated with you and you want someone to hold that flashlight, hold your hand to walk you through that process of designing your legacy and actually like seeing like how wide could my world really be if I took the blinders off, there's a button in the right hand corner for a free design your legacy call. I walk you through that exercise, and part of doing this kind of work is I also get to then be a professional dreamer that adds visibility, because I've heard lots of different stories, I've read lots of books, I have lots of perspective, and can then bring that extra flashlight essentially to the solution to help you see, like, you know what you're saying is this, but I think if we added that ingredient, you'd have an award-winning chili recipe at this cook-off. Like, it's that one ingredient often, and sometimes that can really happen well when you have someone else walking through it. And a lot of times coaching is like the GPS of Google, where Google will get you to where you want to go. It doesn't care whether you swore at the driver in front of you. It doesn't care kind of things you set out the window. It's going to get you where you want to go. It's going to tell you about the accident ahead. It's going to tell you if there's a faster route. That's who I show up for clients. I am the coach that I wish I had in my life 5 years ago. And I always show up as a friend I wish I had in my life 5 years ago. So I'm always open to friendships, but I always try to be the coach that would have transformed my life 5 years ago and to be that for whoever comes my life today.
Dude, amazing. Ben, you are changing lives and energizers. If his message resonates with you, get to his website, bencloy.com. Links are going to be in the show notes. You can go to spencermjones.com/Jones and Forshow and get all the show notes for that, the links, all that good stuff. But connect with Ben, whether you're a father or not, connect with him, because you never know. We all have people in our lives and people go through crises, right? Things happen. And if you could be a resource to them and say, hey, I see you're struggling right now. If you're interested or ready, hey, I know this guy named Ben, heard him on this podcast. He was awesome. Here, listen to this episode, check him out or whatever, so that you can help them, be that resource to them, and, you know, help a fellow energizer, Ben, help and impact more people in his journey and his mission. So Ben, this was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much for your time, your expertise, talent. You are a light, brother. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Spencer. And I want to take time to acknowledge you, because as the host, like, you're often the person bringing these conversations, and oftentimes like you're curating these conversations as well. And I just want to honor you for being an amazing human being, open-hearted, willing to share your story, willing to admit like when you have those monumental shifts. Cause I remember many of those mentioned of like, ooh, man, I felt that. I feel like a Grand Canyon just kind of opened up in this space, and now I need to try to understand what's in there. So thank you for being you, and thank you for inviting me in, and thank you for doing this type of content, because something we often forget is there are a lot of people just like us and Spencer, but there are so many people still every day living in their ordinary lives, and that this is still very new in the world of trying to change the world. So thank you, Spencer, for diving in and sharing and changing your small pocket of the world and living it better than you found it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that, brother. We are making a difference and changing the world. You and I and all the energizers together, we're linking arms and changing the world.
So. Thank you.
Thank you, and energizers, keep being you. Keep shining your beautiful light. Remember, you are worthy and enough just the way you are. So with that, have an awesome day. Hit follow, hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And until next time, I will catch you later.